in verse 17, in the NIV, which I noticed you read from several times there, for in the gospel a righteousness from God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last. Is first to last a poor translation there?
It's a possible translation, but I don't think it fits with the rest of what Paul writes in Romans or in his other writings. I think that the way I place the prepositional phrases, one with the righteousness of God and one as a result of this righteousness that comes from God. In other words, God's righteousness is revealed as being obtained by faith. In order to produce faith is I think, the thrust of what Paul's writing in Romans, and then in Galatians 2, verses 15 and 16, that's what he says to Peter. So because of that, because I think it fits better with the context and with Paul's other writings, I think this is a poor translation.
I agree with that. I just wondered, how about going over that law of increasing entropy and law of conservation deal again?
I knew somebody would ask me that. I told everybody that I brought an expert witness today, Mario Hernandez. No. I don't express to understand the law of increasing entropy or the law of conservation myself as well as I could, because I don't have the kind of scientific background or physics or chemistry background that would aid that. But from what I understand, the law of conservation is simply that the universe and the matter and energy in the universe are uniform, and that they are not depleted, that they will be in constant existence until they are destroyed, we believe. And then the law of increasing entropy is simply that the usable power in the universe is gradually being decreased by use. Not decreased, but transformed to a state where it is unusable by the things we know that use it. And that's the law of increasing entropy. The universe is actually running down as if it had been started, and then is now running down to a level state, a static state in the future.
You're saying then that those two laws would conflict one another were it not for an outside source of energy, eternal power?
Definitely.
But because of that, they don't contradict.
There's no way that the universe can be eternal in the sense that that matter or energy are eternal because of the law of the second law of thermodynamics, the law of increasing entropy.
I just wanted you to repeat your paraphrase or your wording of chapter 7, verse 17.
Okay.
I didn't catch that. More slowly, please.
Okay, right. I'm fine with you. Okay. My paraphrase of it would be, for in the gospel, a righteousness of God by or from faith. You got that? I forgot you were writing it in.
A righteousness of God.
A righteousness of God by or from faith is revealed in order to bring about faith. Okay. And that would be indicated by the Greek word eis, meaning the goal intended would be faith.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah, Greg needs you to help me out. Is the process of God giving them over to a reprobate mind in verse 28 the same process, in your opinion, as his sending a strong delusion in 2 Thessalonians 2, 10, and 11 because of their lack of love for the truth?
Okay, yeah, I believe it is. And in other words, they start out with a lack of love for the truth in 1 Thessalonians 2, or 2 Thessalonians 2. They start out with that. They don't love the truth. They don't want it. Same thing here in Romans 1. They know the truth of God, and yet they reject it as unapproved. They put him up, test him. They say, we don't want him. We want created things. And because of that, he gives them over to a depraved mind. So I think the progression is exactly the same.
Yeah. Just trying to get a little help from my own.
Okay.
In line with what Taylor was talking about and what you said earlier, it seems to me that denying God leads to paganism or idolatry. And idolatry, in essence, is worship of self. And worship of self leads to sexual perversions and all of those other sins. Now, I think the significance of all of that for us, because we don't worship idols, nobody that we know in this country bows down to an idol. And yet, Ephesians 5, you know, says covetousness is idolatry. And the great danger of being materially minded and covetous of things, if followed through continually, leads right here where Romans 1 is.
It's idolatry, definitely. It's exchanging God, the glory of God, for created things.
I'd like to say, I appreciate your remarks. I take a little broader view of the pagans' chance. Maybe we're making this harder than it is. Is there any chance that Paul is just speaking of a continuing revelation? Because the revelation, the gospel, was not a completed thing. Even the book of Romans was an additional revelation. So there was a continuing thing involved there. I wonder if that is even in there. Maybe it's as simple as that.
Yes, yeah, you know, I
don't know.
I'm not sure either. Let me see. I thought I had something here about the word revealed. No, I don't have. In fact, I forgot my briefcase this morning. I looked up to see what.
But would that do any violence to the text or not? I don't know.
I don't know either. I really don't. To tell you the truth, I don't know. I had several positions I was going to take on verse 17. Then I finally said, "Well, I've got to give my talk, and so I better get one." You know, so I finally came down to one I thought was. Well, it seemed the most reasonable and fit most for the context.
Well, that's a good thing.
Welcome to Romans 1:7.
Yeah.
Edwin.
Joseph Smith would sure like to hear that we continue Revelation. Well, they'd really like to hear that.
Well, they'd like to hear it because it was.
They'd like to make it appear now. But I think the interpretation you give, and I've always taken that out. I would change back forward because it has never been proved to be wrong. So I believe you're correct on that. Faithfully. And even we today, we reveal it by our faith to others as God reveals it to us. In other words, they see the faith in us, we teach them that faith, we prove it with the Bible. It's faith to faith.
Are we going to give Greg an opportunity to talk about, Isaiah
44? Oh, thank you very much. I would like to read a passage from Isaiah 44. I wanted to read this so badly because it's perfect. Fits so well with what Paul says in Romans 1 and fits so well with what Sproul was writing in his quotation there about bowing down to things made by man's hands. Start with verse 12. The blacksmith takes a tool and works with it in coals. He shapes an idol with hammers. He forges it with the might of his arm. He gets hungry and loses his strength. He drinks no water and grows faint. The carpenter measures with a line and makes an outline with a marker. He roughs it out with chisels and marks it with compasses. He shapes it in the form of a man in all his glory, that it may dwell in a shrine. He cuts down cedars or perhaps took a cypress or oak. He let it grow among the trees of the forest or planted a pine and the rain made it grow. It is, notice there, the providence of God is making what he's going to use to create an idol grow. It is man's fuel for burning. Some of it he takes and warms himself. He kindles a fire and bakes bread. But he also fashions a god and worships it. He makes an idol and bows down to it. Half of the wood he burns in the fire. Over it he prepares his meal. He roasts his meat and eats his fill. He also warms himself and says, "Ah, I am warm. I see the fire." From the rest he makes a god, his idol. He bows down to it and worships. He prays to it and says, "Save me, you are my God." They know nothing. They understand nothing. Their eyes are plastered over so they cannot see, and their minds closed so they cannot understand. No one stops to think. No one has the knowledge or understanding to say, "Half of it I used for fuel. I even baked bread over its coals. I roasted meat and I ate. Shall I make a detestable thing from what is left? Shall I bow down to a block of wood?" He feeds on ashes. A deluded heart misleads him. he cannot save himself or say, is not this thing in my right hand a lie? That's the folly of idolatry. A man takes the same block of wood and warms himself and worships the other half. And that's what Isaiah says is the foolishness. And he's talking about the Israelites there and their turn to idolatry. So it wasn't just the pagans or the Gentiles that were guilty of this, but the Israelites as well. Thank you, Taylor.
Greg, did you want to make one brief comment on Romans 1:32, the last verse?
Okay, yeah. Although they know God's righteous decree that those who do such things deserve death, they not only continue to do these very things, but also approve of those who practice them. In this passage, like I was saying before, Paul says that these people know God's righteous decree. Not that they know his specific commands about each of these sins that he has mentioned, but that they know that his decree is that people who do these things deserve death. And the reason I mentioned previously the secular lists of vices is because in those lists of vices, they show they knew it. They knew because they themselves disapproved of the very things Paul was writing about here. The Greeks themselves, like I said before, taught a doctrine of retribution for the wicked after death. So they understood that death was the result of these things. But they not only continue to do them, and Paul's talking about the same people now that have this depraved mind, they not only continue to do these things, but they promote them. The word approve of here means to agree with. Someone is actually committing these or asking for consent, and so they're approving of these things, consenting to them, and sympathizing with them, and that's their condemnation. That's why they're so condemned. And you know, this is, I think, is the leading passage into chapter 2 and verse 1, but I won't get into that. But Paul's talking about people who do these things and tell everybody else that asks their consent. And Alex Hernandez, and I were talking about this previously, and he seems to think that this would indicate even someone in prominence who is promoting these activities, not just consenting with them, but actually someone in a position of prominence who is being asked about their authority and then giving his permission for them to be done. I haven't studied too much on that, but that's very possible. But it's these people who practice these things, and at the same time they're practicing them and doing them, they're saying to everybody else, oh sure, it's okay, that's fine, that's the way we're meant to be. The picture of our world today. Thank you. Okay.